Hello and welcome to the final bell. We are brought to you by Lake Imaging. It's the official Geelong Cats podcast. It's party time on the podcast this week. Well, for me, mainly, because I'm just going to gloat all podcast long to my wonderful co-host. Even though he does like the Cats, he loves the Bulldogs, number one. It must have been like a dagger in the heart to Scotty Gallen. Hello, Scotty.
Hello, Cameron. No, well, I'm all about the game and what's good for the game and people enjoying the
game.
It was a thrilling game. And oh, dear. Anyone else had the ball? We will no doubt dissect Gary Rowan's shot at goal, but once it was him, it was just like, yeah, of course.
It was a magnificent shot for goal. We are going to go through every single moment of that game on Friday night. We're also going to talk, really? Scotty.
Oh, yes.
With a former teammate of mine, a former captain of mine, in fact. Also a man who's... Worked at the Western Bulldogs. And, of course, his biggest claim to fame globally has played in a Super Bowl for the Arizona Cardinals. Benny Graham is going to join us a little bit later on.
Bad Ben.
We'll get to your questions as well, as we always like to do on this podcast. But let's go back to Friday night, shall we?
Yes.
It was, I think, 13 lead changes, big portions of the game where scores were level. It was a tense, not at times scrappy, but good contest scrappy game. It was just a brilliant game of footy between two teams who are going to be there at the end. When the whips are cracking. And what a finish. And you're right. Gary Rowan, of all people, just had to kick a point to get a draw. And for a moment, it looked like it was just going to fade off to the right and be a point. But came back nicely. And the 7,000 fans here at GMHBA Stadium went ballistic, Scotland. Or minus 200 of them. We let 200 Doggies fans in.
Oh, that's nice. Well, he went... left to right with his kick for goal earlier in the game and then decided to go right to left on the shot to win it. He's had an amazing year. He's benefited more than anyone from Jeremy Cameron and Tom Hawkins. And his goal kicking's always been a feature. Like him and Tom Hawkins, I mean, Tom Hawkins have the odd night off, but Rowan's technique in that just shows. You get it right.
Good technique.
Because you know all those kick around the corner people? Like imagine if... Harry Mackay had that shot. He'd be trying to go backwards over his head. Yeah, that's why he's a pure footballer, Gary Rowan, and kicked it.
He is. Before we go too much more about the kick after the sign, the game. With a minute to go.
Well, Toby McLean, when did he kick that goal?
The immediate response to the Menegola goal.
Seconds or something?
To me, with a minute to go, Anthony Scott marks the ball on the wing. And I
that
thought
should be enough.
That is it. It was a rushed kick forward. Scott gets the mark. Game over there. You can take another 20 seconds off the clock, a couple of short kicks, and then you find a long one down the line, spoil it out of bounds. Yeah. Game's over.
I haven't looked at it as close as you. So what happened? They kicked it forward. Who got it and then switched it?
Can I get super nerdy technical?
Yeah, well, that's why you're here, because I didn't watch it.
And this is what Luke Beveridge and his team will be going through and would have done it Monday.
I think he did say, we've trained to keep it on that side. We don't know how it got over the other side.
Yeah, the trouble is, so when Scott takes that mark, for some peculiar reason, the Bulldogs get a massive numbers to where the long kick ends up going to. But that's forward of the play. So they didn't get five, six defenders all lateral and backwards, plus midfielders. You can almost go a little bit light down the line where you're going to kick it to, because you're aiming to kick it maybe 3 or 4 metres in from the boundary, get one big spoil, get it out of bounds. You don't need 15 players around there, because if it does quickly turn over, you are very, very thin going back the other way. So they got themselves in just an awful mess, even as the kick was happening, where they decided to...
Too many people in the one spot.
Well, too many people in the one spot and not ultimately ending up what would be behind the ball if that long one turns over, which it did. So when it broke through and the Joel Selwood tap on was elite...
So Joel tap on.
Dangerfield got involved with, I think, a couple of kicks in that little passage. The kick that then went to half forward, and poor Zane Cordy... Do not, Dogs fans, and I know they haven't, no blame goes on to Zane Cordy. He gets the ball under extreme pressure and has to kick. Yes, he could have just hacked it straight to the boundary line and said, I'll cop a deliberate free kick. But he hacks it forward. Guthrie cleans up, Geelong had about three options in the middle of the ground who were always going to clean that up. Because, again, the Dogs are all left back.
Yeah, they're still stranded there. Yeah.
Half back for them. And then the kick going forward, if Gary Rowan didn't mark it, I reckon three other Geelong players could have marked it. They had options
everywhere.
Who was
it, Isaac Smith?
Kicked it in, yes. Yeah. Gary Rowan takes that outstanding mark. So it's rewound right back to that minute to go when Scott marks the footy. The Dogs got it wrong from that point because of where they had the ground set up. They'd trained going long down the line, Scotty, but they all thought, oh, I've got to get to that position.
Yeah.
You don't need 12 blokes there. You need four to make a contest.
You might have picked up, I haven't studied the play as much as you, Cameron, but look, like you said, pulsating affair, just good teams going at each other, both lost key players, and yet, you know, Norton out for the Bulldogs, Mitch Duncan, which we'll talk about. It's just, you're right, it's they're going to be at the pointy end. It's both top four premiership chances, and it was played in that vigour.
Yeah, and genuine, and not to focus on the Dogs too much here, but they get Treloar, Dunkley and Steph Martin back. That's a different game as well. I know the Cats missed Duncan, but
Endo was a laid out. Yeah. So, yeah, there's a few on each side. But
I thought Jack Henry was doing a superb job on Norton anyway. So Norton would have continued to provide a contest, but it wasn't like he was going to rip the game apart.
No, I agree with that.
Tom Stewart, let's talk about his game for a second.
Well, it was branded by the coach and many others the best halfback flankers games he's ever seen. How did Corey Enright feel about that sitting next to the
Forrest probably
the 18-time All-Australian, 50-time premiership player? I reckon he had a few decent games.
Yes, I reckon he might have.
He didn't mark the ball like your man Tom Stewart.
No, and the good thing was, so they set up, you know, with their zone web type thing that defenders do, but then when the ball comes in, he often is caught one-on-one or on an opponent. They weren't just free marks. A lot of them were contested and have to use the body, take the mark. He's so good at those. Yeah. Brilliant. We spoke with, on ABC Grandstand, we spoke with our great mate Reg, Zach Tui, after the game.
Was he kind to you or did he mention the podcast?
No, he was very
not
kind.
Not in a playful mood.
He just wanted to talk Tom Stewart, okay. Of course. He didn't want to... I said you're not allowed to talk about your kick after the siren anymore.
Oh, yes, yeah.
That's banned now. You're
he's
irrelevant
down the
now,
list,
Reggie.
Yeah.
But he said Tom Stewart's the best defender in the game. His quote was along the lines of, paraphrasing, Tom Stewart's now the best defender in the game. I've suspected it for a little while, but now tonight's just confirmed it. He's the best.
Well, because he can play both ways. He can play one-on-one and he can zone, clearly, because he's a great intercept mark. Whereas there's some high-profile guys who love being the third man up and they're very good at it. But he can do both.
And the other one who springs to mind as the best defenders are Harris Andrews.
Yeah, I think he gets overs, to be honest.
Not having a career best year, but, I mean, still a very good player. And Jeremy McGovern, who's injured at the moment.
Yeah, but his strength is third man up.
Yeah.
Jake Lever, May, their Darcy strength Moore. Is third man up, which our man does, but he's got a little bit of the extra stuff, hasn't he? One-on-one, his disposal, he finds the footy.
It was a superb game.
10 intercept marks, the most ever by a Geelong player.
Equal most ever in a game.
15 intercept possessions in total. He saved the match. But it's funny because Gary Lyon, when I came to after my coma of Gary Rowan King the goal, Fox did their big press, go, oh, yeah, Tom Stewart played the game. But he had four goals kicked in him. I'm like, hang on. So they were trying to blame him for a few of the little goals. I'm like, that's a bit harsh. He's just played the greatest game anyone's ever seen.
Yeah.
Anyway, I ignored that.
Yeah, good decision. Mitch Duncan, the only sour point of the night.
And it's
PCL.
A nasty injury, isn't it?
We're talking...
They say eight.
Eight, yeah.
But you need it to go according to plan. It's one of those niggly sort of...
So what are we heading into? Excuse my stupid
question.
No,
we're going into
round... We're going into round 14 or 15?
15, I believe.
Good to see we've both done our research. So that's getting towards round 22, 23.
With the week off. There is 23 rounds.
Yeah, so maybe he comes back for round 23. Maybe. Then a week off.
Week off.
And then finals football.
He's so important to the whole thing. I know they got away with it on the weekend, but, you know, Mitch is... He had injury problems in the lead up to the year, and now this can't be helped. This is just an awkward landing, but...
Now, with the change that has to happen because Duncan goes out, it's Narkalin, isn't it? It's not just, you think like for like and you go Duncan for Higgins, But Higgins was scrappy again coming off as the medical sub.
We giggled. He was managed. But then he seemed to be okay in the managed medical sub. Well,
it's Narkle.
Well, Narkle came in for Hendo, and Narkle's a pure midfielder. 10 contested possessions, again, was around the ball doing everything. I would suspect Sparkle gets a bit of a run at it. You know, Paddy Dangerfield's warming into his work. So I think, it's Sparkle.
Yeah, I hope so. Just almost for affirmation for him.
Yeah.
That was just unfortunate that you went out with Guthrie. You're back in.
Keep playing great
football. Yeah. Absolutely. Paddy Dangerfield's an interesting one. They've had two terrific wins the last 2 weeks with Dangerfield being scrappy and just getting back.
Which is kind of good, to
being
be
better for the run.
Just shows how far they've come.
Yeah. However, he was important in that last minute.
Yeah, well, that's...
Two beast possessions to get it forward.
That's what he does, doesn't he? Just puts his mind to it. When the key moments are there. So... It's a good win, but now that we're here at GMHBA and they're about to get on a plane, the boys, Thursday night football.
They're allowed to. It's okay because they were warned a couple of weeks ago, do not set foot in Greater Melbourne because they have to remain regional. Even though the rules changed yesterday, the game still doesn't fit within the rule changes. So Geelong players weren't allowed to leave the regional area. So they're all right to go. They can jump on a plane now. Get to Brisbane, play the game. I think they might even stay a night or two up there and maybe see a little bit of sunshine and just relax a little bit ahead of what would then be a big clash against the Bombers the following week. But it'll be a huge one tomorrow night at the Gabba. The Lions are another one of those teams, along with the Bulldogs, who will be there right
at
the end.
The skipper will be lining up, Cameron, but he caused a little bit of stir for 24 hours.
He did. Is it
the second one? Let's... The little head issue, I think, needs to be discussed. But the accidental foot, that wasn't a stomp. I'm sorry. He got fined more for that than the first one.
Yeah, and I can't. And I know Taylor Duray has come out and clipped Scotty and said, stop making excuses. I know there's a bit of back and forth. Watching that again and again, and then Joel saying it was an accident. Call me biased.
That was an accident.
Call me because I have a personal relationship. If Joel Selwood tells me that was an accident, I accept that was an accident.
The head rub wasn't an accident.
No, that wasn't.
That's hard football, which I like.
He deserved a clip for that. Did he deserve to be
of course not.
Destroyed for it?
No.
Is there any indication that he's gouged at the eyes?
No.
Is there any indication that he's gone eyeballs at all?
Negative.
No, it's a cheap shot that he didn't need to give.
Yeah.
And he'll look at it and think, I'm disappointed in myself
but
in
he
that.
Playing on the edge is a cliche, but that happens.
Okay, he should have been fined, yeah?
Yeah.
Should he have been suspended?
No, of course not.
No.
But ex-players in the media who conveniently forget, and this is what annoys me about a lot of things, conveniently forget how, times in their careers things happen.
Yeah.
Heat of the moment. But that gets forgotten because, bang, in this, I don't even know what woke means, in this world that we live in
and
now.
24-hour news cycle trying to create
content.
And
everything's a scandal and a crisis. Yeah. It's the worst thing we've ever seen.
So Joel will look at that and be disappointed in himself. Chris Scott probably says to him, come on, mate, you're better than that. And he goes, yep, got it.
But he's playing in best form of last 2 or 3 years.
I read quoted somewhere that if that was Toby Green, he would have got a month.
No. Toby only got fined for doing legitimate damage to Bonifelli's face where there were scars.
Yeah.
So let's not compare them.
Don't compare the incidents.
Let's
Thank you
not
very
compare
much.
Them. Yeah, please. There's no evidence of eye gouge. Yeah, he gave him a bit of a force.
Find him $3,000 for it.
Toby only got $7,500. He got sent to the tribunal, didn't get suspended. So I don't know why Joel's suddenly in the same boat. Anyway, the skip will be there.
Excellent, excellent.
And he's flying.
I want to talk a little bit more about the game coming up and how the Cats are going, but I do want to take a break because Benny Graham's about to jump on with us.
Big Bang Ben. Torps. We can talk Torps.
Zach Tui. Forget about his. Everyone's excited about his Torp. Do you remember when Benny put it past the centre?
He did it every kick out, though. It wasn't one off.
No, magnificent. We're going to chat with the former skipper, the former NFL star, Super Bowl player, Ben Graham, in just a second.
For all your new season Cats gear, hats, hoodies, you name it. Get down to the Cats shop at GMHBA Stadium today or visit thecatsshoponline.com.au. The Cats shop is your one-stop shop for everything you need to support the greatest team of all. Go Cats!
Welcome back. It is great to have you with us on to the final bell, brought to you by Lake Imaging. As promised, Scotty, we've tracked him down. Find the former skipper, the only man to have played in an AFL Grand Final and an NFL Super Bowl.
I think he's going to hold that record for a fair while, Cameron.
I think he might. I don't think I'm going to get a gig as a punter unless they want someone kicking over about 20 metres. Played for the Cats, obviously. That's just stating the obvious. But played for the New York Jets, the New Orleans Saints, the Arizona Cardinals, and the season with the Detroit Lions as well, Benny. I'd actually forgotten about the Detroit stint there, but great to have Benny Graham on the podcast. Hello.
Cameron Lean, great to see you, mate. Scotty Gullen, looking good there. Long time no see.
Thank you, Ben. Wonderful to have you here.
Where do we find you at the moment, Benny? What are you up to these days for our listeners out there?
Well, I've had a complete change of direction of out of football after the events of last year and being a casualty through COVID. I'm running a maintenance company called A-Grade Maintenance. It's a commercial maintenance company with a lot of contracts, government contracts, bigger organisations. And so I thought a complete change of direction and really enjoying it so far. Been in the role for a couple of months and see where it goes, opening up a whole new network and using the transferable skills from football into the commercial world.
You didn't go back to the, I think the first story I ever did with Betty, the pool business was pools, wasn't it? Way back?
Yes. Gordon Avenue Pools.
There it
spa.
Is.
Yes, Dick Backer. Well, that was at a time when I was still at university and on an AFL list and working full time. So it was right in that transition between guys working and becoming professional footballers. But that was I ended up digging holes for spas and pools to installing them to selling them at the end of the day. So I got the full realm of what business looks like. It was a great induction actually to the business world.
Going back to those days, Benny, I mean, we were talking before. Everybody was pumping up a couple of weeks ago Zach Tui's barrel to the, I think it just barely made it into the centre square. It was, that was the greatest thing anyone had ever seen. I remember back in those days, Benny, being a little Cats fan, watching you regularly land them either in the centre circle or beyond it. Take us back to those days. The fun of just having the crowd right behind you and just go, Benny, unleash, put it to the middle of the ground.
Well, I got a great introduction early in my career because Malcolm Blight was my first coach, and one of my great memories is every single warm-up, we just get one wing to the other and just kick torps the whole warm-up. So, you know, it was a part of the game that I enjoyed, and I think it's still a skill and still got a place for it in the game. And, you know, I was given a license with Ayrsy if kicking out from fullback, if I got onto the first one, I could keep kicking them because you're in the zone. But if you shanked one, well, then put it away for the day. But, you know, what happened was teams ended up cottoning on to the longer kicks, whether it be a torp or a long drop punt, and they set their zones back and back and back. So there ended up being a lot of space closer in the 50, but we were the best in the league at getting the ball from kickings over the centre. So it was... that was a strength of ours, but I could always hear the cheer squad behind me just kick it long, Benny. Like it was again all the time. And I get people in the street say, oh, why don't you kick it long all the time? I hate when you kick it short. Well, given that the zones back then were set so far back, I really didn't have a choice. But if I played today, not having to stay in the square kicking out. Like Zach Tui ran 10 metres before he just got it into the, the centre square.
Love
it. I reckon I could kick it over the centre line. I got the ball in my hands. But I was at that game. I was at that game where Zach launched a couple of torps and I'd had a couple of quiet ones and I was in a box and I opened the window and leant out and, that a boy, Zach.
The punters loved it.
I loved it. I'm a big advocate. It's a big part of the game. Toby Green kicked the goal after the siren using a torp. And even, you know, I took the under-14 boys to training last night and they're all trying to kick torps. And I said, boys, if you want to get good at kicking torps, you got to practice them because it is a skill and there is time and room in the game for it. You just hope the coaches give the license to the boys that can actually give it a roost.
Well, it seems to be making a comeback. Did you ever like you said, it was practice for you as a kid. Like there was, were you ever showed a certain technique, or you just practice?
Oh, we just lost Benny there for 2 seconds. Sorry, Benny. We've just your internet's frozen.
Oh, it's my Mark Robinson moment, is it?
Yeah, it was. You're back.
Go again, Benny. Go again.
So when you're working with kids, what do you tell them?
Well, the way I coach people when they're kicking is I work with their technique. It's not a one size fits all. So it's understanding what works for you, how you hold the ball, what angle it's at, your leg swings. There's so many parts of the jigsaw that makes it a successful torpedo. And the same thing happened in the States when you're punting. When you don't hit a good torpedo, you need to understand what is going wrong with your technique. So it's just understanding what works for you. Now, everybody is different as far as power goes or their technique, but it's like golf and a golf swing. Once it all comes together, you don't actually have to try and kick it too hard. It's all about the timing, but definitely love seeing it. And even for guys that are trying to kick torps even inside 50, more often than not, it's a mongrel chaos kind of ball that has good results anyway because it's unpredictable. So I think it's got to be used more and more. And if I was coaching a team, I'd certainly be encouraging to use it more often than not.
You mentioned, Benny, about when you're punting in the NFL. Let's get that for a second. Cam Johnston is over there at the moment doing great things. Michael Dixon,
Seattle. Half a dozen, isn't there?
And everyone's raving about them when they kick these amazing drop punts. So it's incredible that this type of kick can be used effectively. Can we just put something on the record? Were you the first to unleash drop punts regularly when punting in the NFL?
Well, no, I can't take credit for that. Darren Bennett had been in the league and he'd used it in San Diego, but it's amazing that what they do in San Diego, nobody else in any other city in America know what they're doing. It's not like the AFL where if someone does something, everybody knows about it. So it's a niche market kind of thing. So when I got to New York, they hadn't seen it. So it became a big deal there. And then when Cam Johnson went to Philly, I mean, Sav Rocker had done it previously in Philly and in Washington. So gradually, not only are the Aussie guys doing it, but the Americans are now using it. So it's actually just part of the game now. When punters are punting inside 50, they will use the drop punt. Michael Dixon made the news, though, because he kicked off and he's done all sorts of amazing things. But again, we talked about the torpedo. It comes down to the coaches giving the players the license to be able to do different things, because the NFL, for a lot of ways, is very narrow-minded and don't want to take a lot of risks. But the Aussie boys are doing a fantastic job flying the flag. Michael Dixon's just signed a huge 4-year contract, which is well-deserved. But again, the biggest challenge, because the drop punt, we were born to kick the drop punt. We've kicking all our lives. It's the torpedo, the spiral, that is harder to master in the NFL because the ball is smaller and pointier and the pads and the helmet and the 11 guys trying to block your punt and the consistency required. It is a challenge, but it's great to see so many Aussie boys over there giving it a go.
Now, we mentioned all your teams. Where's your heart when you sit on the couch and watch the NFL nowadays? What helmet are you putting on?
Yeah, well, you know, I get asked this a lot, and it's the New York Jets because it was my first team. They gave me the opportunity. I was there for 3.5 years, a lot of great friends. It was my I count myself so lucky that I didn't get picked up by Buffalo or Cleveland and got stuck in the arse end of America somewhere for the first few years. But New York was where it was at. I did enjoy that. The most success came, though, at the Cardinals. Yeah. 3 years there. The Super Bowl, obviously, from a team perspective, equaled an NFL record with a number of punts pinned inside the 20. But the living in Arizona was just fantastic. That was from a family perspective. The winner there, can't say much about the Saints because I only played the one game in London.
Nice town. Wasn't even in New Orleans.
No. And Detroit, well, that was more a pension check for the year and a half. retirement fund, because that was after the lockout. Went back over there, but it was difficult without the family for a year and a half to finish off the career. But I rate Detroit for everything everyone says about it. I think it's a great city, but I'd say given the way the industry works, and given that all your teammates end up at other teams, it's more about the relationships you build. But I certainly did have a great time in New York and also at the Cardinals in Phoenix.
Just speaking of teammates, remind me again, who jumped on that little bandwagon when you did make the Super Bowl and made the trip over? Was Scarlo one of them?
The fullback was there.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. He's a Pittsburgh Steelers man, always has been. So he had an opportunity to come over and watch his beloved Steelers on my ticket.
Yeah, exactly. So he's barracking for the opposition, courtesy of you.
Yeah. Yeah, well, he loves his NFL. He's the commissioner of our fantasy league there with the Geelong Boys. But you know what's amazing is there are so many people in Australia that just love the NFL. It's growing continually and fantasy is a way to get involved. But, I mean, I get pulled up more on the street about the NFL than I do about the AFL.
Yeah,
People, there's not enough outlets for them to discuss it. Yeah, they can watch, you know, NFL Live and they can watch the games when they're on an ESPN. We've got our little show on Channel 7, the NFL Armchair Experts, Cam Luke, that we cover the NFL every week on a weekly. And, you know, the interest is just getting to great levels. So I'm loving it. Can't wait for the season to start.
And what are you – back on the footy, though. What are you thinking of your Cats? I mean, they were close last year. They're a pretty impressive outfit.
Oh, they are. They're experienced. They've always been thereabouts. So proud of what they've done over the last couple of decades or since I've left anyway. But watch them closely. My son is an avid Cats fan. Really? It's in his blood.
Good.
He's 13. Maybe one day if his talent and attitude and pathway suggests that he ends up playing in the AFL, well, you never know. He might don the blue and white hoops, but no, we're blue and white in our house, follow them closely. And unfortunately for COVID, we haven't been able to get to as many games. But it's amazing, through 21, 22 years of playing professional sports, you don't actually get to go and watch a lot of games. But this year, we've been to every game we can and absolutely love it. It's just a thing that him and I love to do. But, yes, following the Cats, and I wish them all the best tomorrow night against Brisbane, but for the rest of the season, and hopefully they can get the ultimate success again in September.
Yeah, fingers crossed, Benny. Well said. I wonder if you wear the number 36 or the number 7.
Oh, 7. You go for 7.
We'll go with your original number, Benny. What do you reckon?
Cameron, my original number was actually 8.
Oh, did you even higher again?
48.
Yeah, so I came in at 48. There was 52 on the list when I first started, so I was 48, a bit of a project player, and then got given the 13 when Paul Couch retired, got offered the number 7. So, yeah, so I've just started off in the high 40s like yourself, but you stayed there.
I stayed there, yeah. I had the cosy little locker next to Boris Enright, and we thought we'll make this little end of town our own. Benny, we better leave you there. Thank you so much for coming on. We could talk, again, I'm one of those who could talk NFL with you all day long, but
no doubt.
Love hearing your thoughts on footy, love hearing some of your experiences in the NFL, and I'm with you. Let's see some of those big torps unleashed, but let's not carry on too much when Reggie barely makes the center square. If we want to show replays of the great man launching his torps, that's how you unleash one to the middle of the ground. Benny, thank you so much. Good luck in the new job. Glad to hear that you're enjoying it. Look forward to chatting again soon.
Thanks, Cam. Scotty, stay well.
Cheers, Benny. Cats.
For all your new season Cats gear, hats, hoodies, you name it, get down to the Cats shop at GMHBA Stadium today or visit thecatsshoponline.com.au. The Cats shop is your one-stop shop for everything you need to support the greatest team of all. Go Cats!
Welcome back. Good to reminisce there with Benny Graham.
One of the best. I think I'm going to claim I broke it, but I got a back page. Benny and the Jets. Never forget it. Benny and the Jets when he...
Oh, was that your headline?
Yes, when he was going to New York, when it all sort of
happened. Yes, good get.
I'm going to claim that.
I remember that headline.
Yeah, it was me, Cameron.
It was you, Scott.
Newsbreaker.
You actually do work.
Back That's then, incredible. Back then, that was a long time ago.
Now you're the elder statesman of the Herald Sun newsroom.
Pick and choose when I offer my gold. Most of it I offer here, to be honest.
Yes. Scarlo, you mentioned Scarlo being the commissioner of NFL. So we've got, me and a number of my former teammates we're called the real Geelong Cats.
Oh, is it a breakaway
fantasy league? Oh, Matthews, Scarlo, and all those Dasher and Joel Curry—they'd all carry on as though they were the kings of NFL fantasy.
Oh, like, so you've had to have a breakaway,
yeah? And we put it together.
In my our fantasy gone up another level. We've started the contract salary cap one.
Oh, like, this? What's it called? Dynasty.
Yeah, we had a rookie thing. We had to draft two rookies.
Yeah.
So it's all salary cap.
You keep your previous list, but then you can draft rookies. Oh, well, you're
that's a whole new. We'll also do the other one, but this is like, oh.
I want to do that sort of thing. So we've got Steve Johnson, Kelly Bartel, Cam Guthrie's still in it, Matty Egan, Shan Burns.
A breakaway.
Dale Amos is our commissioner, former assistant coach. At the Cats.
Should be focusing on other things at the moment, Cameron.
Stop at Scotland. I want to get to the questions in just a second. Just quickly touching on, so Thursday night, tomorrow night, we know Mitch Duncan's going to miss. He would have been looked after well and truly by Lake Imaging during the week, who's the preferred imaging specialist of the Cats boys and does a great job with them. Well, so Mitch would have got his diagnosis and he's out. We think Narkalin.
No, Sparkle has to be. And Lake Imaging being looking after Grime Myers, who the coach mentioned would probably be back next week and straight in, sort of.
No, that seems too soon for me.
I know.
I like Grime and I like what he can do, but I think...
Brad Close and Dalhouse had his best game of the year last week.
Luke Dalhouse's second quarter in particular was outstanding.
So that'll be another selection dilemma.
I wouldn't mind Grime, just for part of his development. He's done so well since he's come in. You know, didn't play his first year, then he's just played and been terrific. Yeah. Refight for his spot. Show form, dominate the VFL, rip it apart and go, yep, you know what? You've jumped back ahead of those guys. Because I think Dalhouse and Close are doing everything that's been asked of them.
You'd be upset if you got punted one of those two. So minimal changes, we suspect.
Yes, minimal change. Anyone else?
Well, Sean Higgins was managed, then was medical sub, and then ended up playing a lot. So I don't know how the managed bit went.
No, I think he stays out. So Jordan Clark kicked three, did he?
How can you give up? No, I'm disillusioned.
The Footscray Bulldogs beat the Cats.
Of course they did. Every day I'm reading, you know, Fremantle circling Jordan. You know, I'm disillusioned. I'm upset.
Don't be disillusioned, mate.
If he leaves the Geelong Football Club, it's probably after they win a flag. So it's probably my argument gets deflated a little bit.
All right, let's get to the questions.
Okay, hit me up.
Finish this off on a really positive note with some good questions from our listeners. Thank you to everyone who sends it in. X O'Donnell asks, I should have read this question before I even started talking to you about Grime Myers, Scotland. X O'Donnell asks, what will be Geelong's small forward line mix in finals? Great question.
Well, can you have three? A lot of teams, well, Richmond has about 15 of them.
So hang on, what's the current forward line? Is Hawkins, Cameron, Rowan, Dalhouse, Close, and on the weekend it was a lot of Dangerfield.
Yeah, at the moment it's Dangerfield. And then who else? If Higgins is in form, it's a Higgins half forward.
Yeah, nah. Not working for me.
You can go three little men.
Yes.
Quick men.
Given you've got Rowan, who's also can play small with his speed and his pressure.
Yeah, I could see that.
Hawkey and Jez don't need to be chasing.
No, of course not.
Then you've got Dangerfield as a weapon there.
They can play all three. Yeah. You do have four on the bench, don't forget.
But for now, as I said just before.
I'm not against Grime having a little Jew kicking, as we used to call it.
Yes. In the twos. Mind you, it wasn't on Friday night. It was a beautiful 4 o'clock start or whatever they did on the weekend. Get them back to the 8:30 a.m. start.
None of that for you, Cameron.
No, Zach Chris asks, who is Geelong's new GOAT? He's in greatest of all time. Well, there's no new. It's still Gary Ablett Sr. or Gary Ablett Jr., depending on which way you fall on the debate, isn't it?
I think so. Well, are we talking about GOAT of this team? I don't think we've got a GOAT, have we?
Because
Selwood's going to go down as
one of the greatest of all time and potentially the greatest impact overall on the club.
Greatest captain potentially of all time.
Yeah.
Tomahawk's going to end up with a lot of goals and a lot of honours when he parks the bus.
I still believe Geelong fans underappreciate how special and how good got him. There's still some Geelong fans who go, Hawkins needs to be doing this. He has been one of the best key forwards in the game for a solid decade.
Easy.
Fighting against two players.
He won them a flag, people. Yeah. Don't ever forget that. 2011 by himself.
But greatest of all time, the all-time bit, yeah, well, being that senior or junior.
Yeah, and I'm still with senior.
Allegra McMahon asks, what was the best thing about being a professional athlete?
Oh, I can answer this.
What is it?
Not being one was the best bit. What was the best bit, Cameron?
The best bit? I loved, so deep down I loved to compete. I loved to achieve things together as a unit against the very best.
Mm.
And to have that exhausted satisfaction of
10 minutes when you're all alone in the locker room. That was your
so special, where you just knew.
Before the media and other people invaded it.
Just this, it was like a quiet satisfaction. Yeah. You jump around, you sing the song, there's a noise. But then that quietness of, we did it. And we did it together. And we didn't just beat an average team or a poor team. We beat the best, and who were filled with the best players. And I loved the individual battle of beating the very best. And I loved when we could unite as such a strong group that you feel unbeatable. You feel there's just so strong as a unit. That was the best part. I love different elements throughout the pre-season, which everyone says is hard and such a grind. I loved feeling so fit and healthy that I could take on the world. I loved
and
that
Lambies,
element.
Because you were balancing it?
Balancing it. But I loved
I can
so many aspects. Yeah, there were negatives, and you fight through some harder times and some downtime and all that. But so many moments of it that I just really love. That's the stuff I miss.
Yeah.
I don't.
The team camaraderie,
Now, good question, Allegra. Thank you for that. Big Catter 79. Which After the Siren Cats winner is your favourite? Steve Honor also asked, rate your top three After the Siren kicks to win a game by a Geelong player. Can I start?
Yes.
All time?
Yes.
Number one for me is, I am 13 years of age, so I am smack bang in the middle of, I love the Cats and I'm crazy. And I'm just
Billy.
No. 2 weeks later. The greatest footy fan ever.
What, Gazza?
Gaz.
In the goal square.
Again, okay.
The Lee Tudor moment.
I'm not talking about the kick and the best kick.
No, it has to be.
But it's a prelim final.
Difficulty. Rating.
Okay,
difficulty.
But hang on. Just for a moment of happiness and joy.
I could have kicked that.
Hugging
one.
Strangers. No, you probably couldn't. You would have put it into foot. Mick Martin's face.
That's true.
That for joy and happiness. I reckon K-Rock played the Cats theme song on repeat from the entire drive from Melbourne to Geelong. Everyone scarves out the window. I'm just talking blissful, youthful happiness. That was number one. But best kick?
I think Cole Hutchison in a rival news pictorial did it today. Our good friend of the podcast, Peter Ryan, asked him. And he had Tomahawk 2012.
Number one for best kick.
Because it went 55. It went a long way.
In the Hawks rivalry game. Cats had been up by 45 or 50. Hawks come back. Game's over when Puopolo tries to scissor kick out of the air.
Yeah, that was an error.
Ball transfers down the ground. Again, reminder, it's Geelong Hawthorn. And Hawk marks that and nails it after the sign.
Drop punt 55. So Dennis, he had Kometi him at call. Number one. Yeah, Zach Tui had way down.
Yeah, no.
Zachary.
Reg, that was 30 out straight in front of simple kick.
Did he have Gary? He had something. What other ones did we have?
Billy's kick was pretty
good. Billy's kick set the tone. I mean, that was pretty amazing.
Do you remember the Peter Riccardi versus Carlton? Yes.
It was actually
And was it Patrick Wiggins on the mark claiming it was touched?
Smacked him in the head, practically.
No, it carried. It doesn't carry 55, 60. That was an outstanding kick. There's been a fair few After the Siren attempts. Isaac Smith for the Hawks didn't get one. Now we love him because he's a Cats man.
Mundy here miss.
Harry Taylor missed against the Dogs when you guys had 18 on the mark a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Trying to just
Bartel's point to win a game was a bit easier. You know, there's been plenty. But Gary Rowan's, it's in the top.
For degree of difficulty.
Yeah. I'm looking at the spot now.
Yeah, it was an unbelievable kick. I remember being relieved.
How did it go right to left?
I was in the commentary box.
Would have had this view.
Right behind it. Yeah. Fantastic view. And I remember him looking at the bench, fortunately, because there's still 5 seconds when he marked it. Don't play on, take the shot. And he was checking. I reckon if he'd been on the other side of the ground and couldn't have got that reminder,
he might have moved off the mark.
He might have. Well, he might have also looked to pass to Hawkins or someone quickly, Jeremy Cameron. longer rather than taking the shot.
It is near the race. They've probably had that kick 100 times. Yeah. That's what they say over at WA. The race is right there. You know, like, oh, well, Kennedy kicked that a couple of weeks ago.
What a kick that was.
Apparently he does that 80 times a week.
You talk about elite execution. Yeah. That was unbelievable.
It's happening a bit, which is good for the game.
Are we overlooking? There's got to be another. Think post-94, pre-07, kicks after the siren. Are we missing any great Cats wins? Peter Riccardi was obviously 05, I reckon.
Billy, you're king of Geelong.
Yeah, so it was 94.
Do we think there's another one?
I'm just asking.
I thought it was a pointed question.
Do you remember going back down here to, I reckon, maybe 1988? Robert Scott has a shot after the siren.
Oh, see, now you're showing Geelong Nuffy.
But it hits the post and they lose to the Swans. Now, all of us Geelong fans in that stadium, we still to this day believe that a Swans, like, or some pushed players.
It. Dane Rampey style.
Bumped into the post and the post started swaying and the goal umpire called it a hit the post because he saw the post swaying and Scotty was actually see a goal. The ball. Oh, I still reckon it was a goal.
That's a scandal. I should relive that.
I am looking at that through my 7-year-old eyes at the time.
Well, don't get me going about goal umpires. Tony Liberatore, goal, we win the flag. Didn't happen. Cheating. Cheating. We had to wait another 19 years before we dominated a 1-1.
I've got over that. We're not missing any, are we?
I don't think so. You're asking if we have.
So joy and happiness and pure just unbelievable moment, Gary Senior.
But degree of difficulty.
Degree of difficulty, Tom Hawkins.
With Gary Rowan's, not bad.
Not bad.
Regis was straight in front. That was like, could have kicked that with both feet.
I still think what could have been the greatest near siren win and goal and just unbelievable execution was the 2010 qualifying final versus St Kilda, where a player nails the goal, game's going to be won.
Was that you?
To beat the Saints.
Was that the free kick?
My teammate Cam Mooney decided to give a free kick away before I kicked it. And I was still celebrating when
you were doing a lap.
The play went on. Moon's ruined my moment.
That was your one good moment of your career, Cameron.
It was not a free kick either. I think even the Saints guys have admitted that since.
I do know that umpire. He's a good friend of mine.
But
Matthew Stevic. I send him all the best.
I digress with that one. Yes, it was brilliant by Gary Rowan. Sorry, we've named about 15 different kicks after the siren there, but
I think we've covered them.
Yeah, I think we have. Thank you, Scotty.
Yes.
Thank you to Benny Graham for joining us. Thank you to all of our listeners who always engage with us. Please keep them coming. It is massive tomorrow night.
Bris Vegas.
Part of a huge run of Port in Adelaide, the Dogs, Friday night, and then Brisbane at the Gabba. If they could go 3-0 on that run and then take down the Bombers the following
week. Just handle the cup now. As long as you avoid Richmond just in case they get a bit interested.
Yeah,
that's how I would.
Still got the Tigers to come later on this year. Got Melbourne at home to come later on in the year. But then
I'll beat Melbourne by 10 goals. Will by then. Melbourne's had their high. You know what it's like. You can't stay. Collingwood beat them the other day.
We used to stay pretty high for a while.
Okay. You've gone too far now. We have to sign off.
Let's leave it on that note. We better go. Thank you to Lake Imaging for all of their support with this podcast. Thank you for listening. We will be back next week, hopefully celebrating another terrific win. Please don't do it after the siren. My heart can't take any more, but hopefully a fantastic Cats win in Brisbane. Have a great week.